Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, I found Jesus. This is a special day. And as fascinating as that is, I'm like an apartment building where you have to buzz to come upstairs on the intercom.
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How'd you get in here? Should I leave the door open again by mistake? So the $2,000 listening fee will be lifted today. This show is free for today, so enjoy. How you doing? You doing all right? I know. Me too. Did you know that today is June 12th? How's that possible? We're almost halfway through the month of June and I didn't even know it started yet. What's going on? Why is time going so quickly when there's nothing to do? What's going on here? I think that SpaceX, that International Space Station orbiting the Earth, has screwed up time because somehow it doesn't make sense. I think they like the orbit is kind of tilting the Earth the wrong way and making everybody crazy, and it's rotating weird, and wow. So a lot of people in America are just like knocking down statues all of a sudden. They're knocking down all the Confederate people that had statues. They're knocking down Christopher Columbus statues. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, we're getting rid of all the crap that was in our history and in our lives. It's kind of interesting. But without statues, what are the birds going to do? Where are they going to go to the bathroom? This is a problem. That's Jason Shaw doing our theme. Thank you, Jason. He's a man. He's a man with a legend. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's a pleasure to have you here. Sort of, in a way. Maybe it's really not. I don't really know anymore. Everything's upside down. Everything is. Oh my God. As you probably heard, and this is horrible news, the cases of this virus thing are going up again. What's going on with you? Can't you distance yourself? This is, they think it's from the Memorial Day weekend, from people all of a sudden being in close contact with each other on the beach and getting out in the nice weather and congregating in places. It's going up from that, they think, because restaurants have opened up in some states. Stores have opened up in some states. And I guess they're not being entirely careful. I don't know. We haven't even gone through the period of the protests yet. That usually shows up a couple of weeks later, like what the results of that were. Close contact with people yelling and spitting and screaming 2 feet from each other's face. That's going to be another big one. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. It's a problem. It's a problem. I don't like to be overdramatic, but it's a problem. But this is a comedy show, so let's get it on. I don't even know what that means. Let's get it on. Get what on? What are you talking about? Stop saying phrases that don't make any sense, yet everybody understands what you're talking about. I have a friend who keeps using the phrase, you know what I'm saying? No, I don't know what you're saying because you keep saying you know what I'm saying. Stop talking like that. Stop saying the same phrase over and over and over again. You're not branding yourself for marketing purposes. Ooh. I have a friend who, that should be the end of the sentence. I have a friend. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I have a friend who just has the verbal diarrhea. I can't stand it. I'm getting very short with people, and I'm a tall man, but I'm getting very short all of a sudden. I'm not tolerating people well. I think that's part of this big social experiment. I'm not tolerating like I used to. I used to say, whatever. I'll just go off and do my thing. I don't know what my thing is anymore, and I can't do it. So I'm getting frustrated in a civil sense, of course. I feel like every time I'm having a conversation with somebody I know, like a quote-unquote friend or an acquaintance, I feel like interrupting them and saying, well, get to the point. What's your point? What are you trying to say? Get to the point. I feel like I don't have time to listen to their splatter. The point is I never have time to listen to splatter. Even if I had time, I don't have time for that. Get to the point. What are you trying to say? So here's what this friend does all the time. All the time. This is, hey, Ron, how you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Well, let me tell you. So I wake up this morning, I brush my teeth, I'm looking for a pair of shoes, and I find a pair of shoes and I put them on my feet. Here's the deal. I go down for breakfast. I'm starting to cook breakfast. I'm finding two eggs in the refrigerator. I cook them up. I eat them. And this is interesting. Here's where it gets interesting. Yeah, because so far it's not. So I get in my car and I'm driving. And what do you get to the point? What are you trying to say? I ran into Joe. He says hi. What did you give me all that other stuff for? With the getting up and the shoes and making breakfast? What do you? Some people just think that they're these grandiose storytellers, but you're not. You don't tell stories well. Get to the point and then backtrack. Here's the way you should have put that. I ran into Joe yesterday. He says hello. I saw him after I got up in the morning. I put my shoes on. I went to the bathroom, brushed my... Oh, my God, it's still boring. I don't need your backstory. It's interesting how people think that everything they say is so ultra important, except for me, because this is what I do for a living. But if you don't do it for a living, then don't do it. That should be my mantra. If you don't do it for a living, don't bother doing it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Hey, here's an interesting thing. I'm watching TV yesterday. That I could say that at any point in my life. I'm watching TV yesterday, and they're interviewing a woman who is an OBGYN. And on the bottom of the screen, her title comes up, a graphic at the bottom of the screen, and it says, Muriel Smith, whatever in hell her name is, comma, OBGYN. And I'm saying to myself, these professions where you don't really say what they do, you just spell out the initials of what they do, it's so bizarre. It's like you're saying dirty words to your children, but you don't want them to hear, or you spell things out because you don't want them to understand what you're talking. She's getting tired, so if she cleans her room, we'll offer her some candy. The child can't spell, but you know what it's candy, obviously, but you don't say that in front of candy. It's the same kind of thing. What kind of doctor is that? Come here. She's an OBGYN. Oh, thank God you did the initials. Don't say that out loud. That's disgusting. I know. She's involved in OBGYN. Was that a character on Star Wars? Or was that Obi-Wan Kenobi? I don't know. When you sound out OBGYN, it's Abgadon. Abgadon. I've often thought, I've mentioned it on the show before, and this is absolutely disgusting. By the way, have the kids get out of the room. If you don't know this by now, the show is not for children. It's not for C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N. Have them leave the R-O-O-M and then get on the phone and make an appointment with your O-B-G-Y-N. Doctors, they are heroes, man. They are heroes, especially at this particular juncture in our lives. They're heroes. But these specialty doctors, I wonder, some of these professions, I've never interviewed a mortician before. Just never crossed my desk. I mean, Ron, if you want, I had to do one interview. Is there one that you haven't done that you really want to do? Mortician, perhaps? These are the people, I believe, I don't know much about them, but they deal with death every day. They stare death in the face every single day. This is something I try to avoid when I possibly can. But this is their profession. Someone's got to do this. When somebody dies, they drain the body of blood. They fill it with formaldehyde or Gatorade. I don't know which. Doesn't really matter at that point. And then they actually dress the dead body. They put clothes on it. Clothes that the family has picked out. You know, Uncle Joe is dead, but I think you look good in a purple sweater. What do you think?
Yeah, how about a white turtleneck?
Yeah, that's good. Dressing up a dead person, I can't. Someone's got to do it. I get it, but I can't. I just can't imagine doing that all day and then going home and being pleasant. I can't figure that out. That's one job. And that's usually a family job where being a mortician, funeral home kind of stuff, draining bodies and dressing them up. That's usually family. There's not many people. You don't see a kid, you know, in junior high school, you know, middle school. Hey, Bobby, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to dress dead bodies. I think that would be so rewarding. Because I have a good fashion sense, and I like to dress people, and if they don't fight back, it's even better. It's just a very odd profession. Someone's got to do it. Thank you for your service. Seriously, man, I don't know how these people aren't depressed. They say that the highest suicide rate is among dentists. Oh my God. What about morticians? I mean, seriously, like you're one step away. Anyway, you know the drill. The other profession is gynecologist and proctologist. I can't imagine. It's a profession. There are diseases. There are bad things that go on down there. Go on down there in the south, down below. There's some bad things, and you need specialty doctors for these things. But probing, I physical probing in the private parts, how do you do that and then become sexually aroused by somebody? How do you? It's so clinical at that point. I've had sex all my life, but I never had a flowchart on the wall displaying the parts. I think it would take away from it. I can't imagine that. And how do you have a female proctologist and a male gynecologist? I mean, you usually don't, but there are. I can't imagine. And we make jokes about it. Oh, boy, that would be a great profession, huh? No, it wouldn't, actually. No, it wouldn't. It might take the fun out of the pleasure part. Can you imagine, a gynecologist coming home, you know, and their spouse says, hey, you want to, you're looking really hot tonight. You want to run up to the bedroom and, you know what I'm saying? No, I've been looking at that all day. I really would just rather have a sandwich and go to bed. You know, I how do you do that? Well, I guess you do. I just can't fathom it. There's no fathoming going on here. I'm out of fathoming. Some of those professions, man, wow. Can you imagine a factory worker that assembles automobiles in one of those assembly plants? An assembly plant? I could never work in an assembly plant. I can't even put a bicycle together. I can't even assemble a house fan. I know you take the top and you stick it on the pedestal and you stick the legs in and there's your house fan. When I put it together, it doesn't resemble anything like a house fan. I can't assemble anything. When I became a dad, I feared Christmas because it meant that things that came unassembled, I'd have to put together on Christmas morning. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Can we do it tomorrow? I'll do it next week. Johnny, it's a lovely bicycle. Next week. Can we do this next week? I know you want to go out and ride it, but I can't. I don't know where the pedals go. I don't know what you... Oh, God. You had to get him something assembled, huh? Oh, Jesus. Can't do it. I hate instructions. They're usually in a language I can't understand. They're usually incomplete. There's always a part missing. Or when I finish assembling something like a desk or an office chair, I mean, simple things like that, a chest of drawers, there's always like 20 parts left over. And I'm wondering, are these spare parts or did I forget an entire step? Oh, the furniture works. It's just, it doesn't work well. And when little Johnny gets on the bicycle that I just assembled, we may never see little Johnny again. That bike ain't going to make it out of the driveway, but good luck. Working an assembly plant? No. Do you know what qualifications you need to work in an automobile assembly plant? Have you ever assembled anything, Mr. Van Dam?
Yeah, sure.
Well, okay, so you're good at it? No, usually get about 20 parts left over and the thing falls apart after a couple of hours. Do I have the job? Well, you do, because we basically use robotics.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it's the robots that put the thing together. You just watch the robots do that.
I'm not interested, thank you.
There are a lot of people unemployed right now because they've been laid off or fired or something because companies are going out of business. So you're going to have to find something else to do. And I'm suggesting mortician, because if this epidemic doesn't stop, you're going to have a lot of business. And that's not a joke. That's sad. Anyway, oops, I slipped back into a serious subject and I wasn't supposed to do that because it's just not why you're here. You can watch the news if you want to be depressed and stressed and all that, or you can come here for your little comedy respite. It's all right. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You know what I love to talk about? Food. Oh, food, man. I have a lot of guests on this show that are food experts and chefs. I get off on that. I do. It's just fun. Food's wonderful. Very expensive right now. Hope that's temporary. But what a wonderland of tastes and smells and colors. It's just fantastic, man. Cooking is a lot of fun. It's creative. It's rewarding. It's part of the cycle of life. So I connect with chefs a lot, even people who aren't chefs professionally, but they know how to cook and they have specific recipes and dishes that they really get into. I can go on in conversation about that for seconds. No, for hours, I really can. So what I thought I would do today, because this is what I do, I thought we would talk to a chef. She's been with us before, and she'll be with us again. She's fun, creative, and always has some great ideas. So it's time. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's speak to Jamie Gwen. Chef Jamie Gwen is going to join us momentarily. But first, I have a little commercial message because someone's got to pay for this. It's not you, apparently. Speaking of food, huh? How about this?
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Chef Jamie Gwen joins us. We're celebrating June as being Dairy Month. There's a month for everything, and this is the Dairy Month. And we're talking about some easy recipes with dairy. By the way, she is a chef and a cookbook author as well. She's been all over the place, and she's reached the pinnacle of her career now. And here we are, Jamie. Let's get started. Milk, man, that's one of the products, but dairy goes like beyond, doesn't it?
Oh, it goes way beyond. Ron, I'm really glad to be back with you. Thank you for having me once again on your show.
Sure.
And happy summer to you. Yes, June is Dairy Month, and there is a month for every fabulous recipe, Ron. But I say you should head to the dairy aisle if you're looking for inspiration. We're all cooking at home a lot these days. The dairy aisle is the coolest aisle of the store. It's really evolved over the years, though, and adapted to new lifestyle changes and food trends, and there's a lot of innovation. And if you have dietary needs, the dairy aisle is even dairy-free today. So like you mentioned, the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association tracks all of that innovation, and it's really extraordinary what you'll find and what you can make.
It is interesting because when you say dairy, a lot of people's natural reaction is, oh, I can't do dairy. But see, that's right. you don't understand. Dairy means it doesn't have to be from the cow necessarily.
Exactly. I mean, you can be a milk person, or you can be an almond milk person.
Yes.
If you're an almond milk person, you want to make my three ingredient chocolate pudding, because almond milk is the base. Oh, yes.
Oh,
I had
man.
You a chocolate pudding now, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Okay.
Okay, three ingredients.
Tell me.
So simple.
Yeah.
Marshmallows, cocoa powder, and almond milk. And it is decadent, I have to tell you. And again, speaking to that non-dairy option, almond milk, soy milk, even oat milk. Mm-hmm. There's non-dairy yogurt today. There's a lot of buzz. And so when you realize, you know, you can make a really, truly delicious dessert, I have a homemade frozen yogurt that I make. It's three ingredients as well. And it uses
really?
Greek yogurt, you know, in a container like you have for breakfast.
Interesting stuff. You know, a lot of people, because we're all obese, not you, but I'm talking about everybody else. We're all watching. Okay, we're all watching our weight, and we're told to be careful with the sugar thing. And a lot of people, well, there's like a lot of grams of sugar in dairy, and but now they're coming out with stuff where you can basically get almond milk, for example, with no sugar at all, and you just add what you want. I mean, it's the options are there.
They really are. And, you know, I think that June is a wonderful time to check out all that the dairy aisle has to offer, because there are great deals because it's Dairy Month. And you'll see what's new and what's incredible. And you're not restricted anymore, because there are so many options. The Greek yogurt that I mentioned, I use for a homemade tart frozen yogurt. You use frozen fruit. And you just mentioned watching your sugar intake. Yep. You can use regular sugar or you can use a sugar substitute.
Sure.
But I'm making homemade tart frozen yogurt every night now, because I have to tell you, it's crazy, fabulous, addictive. It's three ingredients and it goes in your food processor. So 2 minutes later, dessert's ready.
Wow. I have actually tried this. I'm saying wow because I'm playing the wow thing, but I actually do this too. It's an incredible find and an incredible discovery, and we'll find out how to go there. Yeah, it's like wow. Anyway, what about cheese? I love cheese. Cheese seems like it's just going right to my arteries and things. But what do I do, like, for a cheese and cracker kind of feel?
Well, I can combine your cheese and cracker and make you a cheese cracker.
Uh-oh.
And by the way, there is cheese today, an option for cheese that isn't cheese. So, you know, there's something for everyone in the cheese category. But this is a one ingredient wonder. So you're going to take shredded cheese. I'm using shredded cheddar, let's say, today. And you're going to take a baking sheet and put little piles, 2 inches wide, of shredded cheese. You're going to bake them. And about 10 minutes later, when you take them out and you let them cool, you get a cheese crisp. And they're gluten-free. So there's your cracker in the form of cheese. I like to put them on a cheese board.
Uh-huh.
I like to crumble them over a salad in place of a crouton. They're a great go-to snack. And I think it's quite fantastic that you can make something so impressive with one ingredient. You know what I like to do, Ron, for breakfast? You can also make a cheese crisp in a saute pan. You just sprinkle the cheese. When it starts to bubble, you break an egg. And then you put a lid on the pan. And the egg cooks soft and the cheese gets all crisp underneath. And when you go to sit down for breakfast, you realize that is a breakfast of champions.
This is better than sex. I'm just sitting here. Wow. Okay.
I'm flattered, really. I am. I'm flattered.
First of all, I apologize, and secondly, I'm serious. Okay.
Not at all, and I knew that, of course.
Okay, all right. Any other great ideas?
Yes, one more chef's kit.
Thank you.
It might be better than anything, actually.
All right.
It is a homemade herb butter that I share. And so we call it a compound butter in the food business, the food world. But you take regular traditional butter found in the dairy aisle, and you let it come to room temperature so it's soft, and you blend it in a bowl and a spoon with some chopped fresh herbs or some chopped garlic or some citrus zest. You could even add honey and cinnamon, and you could put that butter on top of a waffle. But you just blend it all together. You form it into a log in a piece of plastic wrap or wax paper. You roll it up and you refrigerate it. And a couple hours later, you slice it into coins. And then you top corn on the cob or a grilled steak or warm bread. And it's so impressive. No, it's so impressive. You're like a culinary hero because you pulled homemade herb butter out of the fridge, but it took nothing. Brilliant, right?
That's like a gourmet thing in Europe. I mean, like, wow, it's so simple,
right.
But yet.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Well,
Ron, I posted all the recipes for you, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out on telling you.
No.
At easyhomemeals.com. It's easyhomemeals.com. And in celebration of June Dairy Month, the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association is sponsoring a sweepstakes, $10,000 worth of supermarket gift cards. You heard that right, $10,000. So you want to be sure to enter to win. easyhomemeals.com, and then you want to grab that dairy-free decadent chocolate pudding recipe while you're at it.
Unbelievable. Well, you've just said it all. Thank you so much, Jamie. I look forward to the next time we can have food talk.
Well, me too. Thank you, Ron, so much for having me back. Happy summer to you, and eat well.
Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, before you go, Jamie, is there a website that people can follow you?
Yes, of course, at chefjamie.com, and there'll be a link as well to easyhomemeals.com. And you can follow at Chef Jamie Gwen for my shameless daily dish.
Wow. As Trump would say, I've just performed the perfect interview. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you again, Ron. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Oh my God. Have a wonderful week. Oh my God. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll be with you again on Monday. Please join me then. We'll make it free again on Monday, but then that's it. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. I wish you peace.